support of our partners and friends, and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
I want you to open your Bible up to the Gospel of Mark. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, praise Jesus. Y'all say this with me. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. I'm about to hear the Word. Faith is coming, and I'm ready. Amen. So Mark chapter 5, you got your Bible, turn there. Mark chapter 5, we're going to pick it up, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And then one of the synagogue rulers, a man named Jairus, came there. And seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he pleaded earnestly with him. He said, my little daughter is dying. Now, remember, if you were here last week, or maybe you heard it on Facebook or on the Truth Broadcast, our radio program, you could hear about that last week. A royal official comes, and he's got a problem. His son is dying. Maybe, who remembers that one? And he says, oh, please come and go with me, and you can lay hands on my son, and he will live. That's what he said. That's last week's. Different. It's in the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter. And Jesus said to that royal official, he goes, unless you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. So go. You're dismissed. Your son will live. And we talked about how when you believe what God says, you act like you believe it. This royal official took Jesus at his word and left last week. So how did Jesus deal with the situation last time? He just said, go. It's all taken care of. If you believe it and you believe me enough to leave my presence in faith, when you get back, you'll find that what I said was true. Just go ahead and go. You can leave. You're dismissed. Even though the royal official was used to having it his way, and he didn't say, hey, will you come and send me home? He said, will you come and go with me? And Jesus didn't do it the way he wanted it done, did he? Here's a big faith lesson. Faith doesn't always involve getting it your way. Matter of fact, rarely does faith ever involve you getting it your way. And it's also, most of the time, not about your sense of timing. Because you and I in the realm of the Spirit are like little kids. We want ice cream for breakfast. Nothing wrong with ice cream, but let's have our other stuff first. All things in order. Amen. This guy, really, in a way, he's coming to pray. I pray, come go with me. I ask you. My little daughter, you lay hands on her, she will be healed and she'll live. He had a faith attitude, didn't he? I like it. Next verse. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding, had an issue of blood for 12 years. Man, that's easy to read. That is so easy to read. Listen, you need to stop and think about that. I had to think about it with a calculator. 4,380 days. 4,380 days she woke up still having this physical symptom going on in her body that she had an issue of blood. It's a miracle she lived that long. But she was not thriving, she was surviving. And she was desperate to get healed. Let's read the rest of it before I talk. So for 12 years, for over 4,000 days, she woke up having this problem. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all that she had, so she's broke now. She can't even go back to the doctor anymore. Even though they didn't help her, she kept going. And instead of getting better, she just grew worse. Listen, it's not because doctors are bad. It's because doctors are not God. And sometimes there are things in your life that only God can fix. I thank God for doctors and the amazing things they can do. They're a gift from God. Don't let everybody ever tell you otherwise. But they're not God. They don't heal anyone. God uses medical professionals, but it's God who does the work. Doctors in her day, who knows what they were trying to do with her. You got an issue of blood. We're going to put leeches all over your body. It's like, I mean, I'm talking about that kind of nonsense. Medical treatment. She didn't get any better. She just got worse. What does it say happens next? But when she heard it with her ears, but it had to go further than that because she actually believed it. And that means she not only heard it with her ears, but she heard it with her heart, her spirit. She took it as truth. See, because you can hear stuff all day long, and you get to decide what you believe and what you don't believe. Just simple as that. You can believe anything that you choose to believe. Now, you can be sincere about it. You could be sincerely right. You could be sincerely wrong. So be careful what you believe. Check the source. But when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. In other words, the bottom of his prayer shawl that he was wearing. Because she thought. Now, Matthew's gospel says she said to herself. Mark just says she thought it. Most of the time, we tend to say what we're thinking eventually. She thought to herself, or she said to herself, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Now, I don't wonder where she got that idea from. I'm going to tell you where I believe she got that idea from. I believe she got that idea from the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit one day just inspired her. She'd heard about this Jesus, Son of God. She'd heard about all the miracles and the healings, and she just thought, oh, if I could just get to him, but I know he's always surrounded. And after all, listen to me, she's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's Jewish. They got some pretty strict laws about a lot of things, issue of blood being one of them. To them, they didn't go, well, the poor woman has a medical condition. They said, no, she's unclean. She can't go to the temple. She can't be with her husband. She can't touch her family. Maybe you've heard it talked about this way with people that had leprosy. They treated women with issue of blood the same way. If she got outside her house and she walked down the road, if somebody came close to her, she had to declare unclean. Now, how many know she didn't choose this? She didn't ask for it. The Bible doesn't tell us how it started or anything else. It just says she's had it for 12 years. She lived under the letter of the law. How you think she felt about herself after 12 years of walking around saying, I'm dirty, I'm unclean, don't touch me, don't come near me. I'm thinking her self-esteem was like below zero. And she spent everything she had. Like, well, where's your husband? Well, maybe she was never married. Maybe she wasn't. Where's your family? I don't know. But whatever she did have, she don't have it no more. Because she don't have any family in this story. And now she spent all of her money. And every treatment they give her, she don't get better. She only gets worse. That's pretty desperate. But when she hears about Jesus, she gets this picture in her mind, seeing herself. If you want to call it this, imagining herself. Now, I believe your imagination is a gift from God for you to use to see faith things. You can use your imagination for creative faith things, or you can use your imagination, or your imagination can be used against you for not good things. And I believe she imagined herself coming up behind Jesus, and I'm just reach out, and all I need to do, I don't need to disturb him. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. If she touches him, by law, she could be stoned to death. But she imagines herself sneaking up behind Jesus just to touch. If I could only touch just the hem of his garment, because I'm not worthy to come and ask him to heal me, because, I mean, I'm unclean. I've been unclean for 12 years. That was been her thinking, and she comes up behind Jesus. She acts on it. She sees herself doing that. She thought it. She spoke it to herself until finally she got enough courage to go actually do it. And it was inspired of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. She said, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, when she touched him, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. In other words, all of the pain and all of the symptoms, the physical stuff, just immediately gone. But how many of you realize this? This is not just a physical problem. This is an emotional situation. This is a self-esteem issue. This is a condemnation, guilt issue. This is a, I need to be made whole in every part. You realize you're not just a physical being. The Bible says you're created in the image of God, your spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And her body got healed. And that's good. Praise God for that. But watch what happens. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and he said, hey, who touched my clothes? And the disciples answered him, you see all the people crowding against you? How can you ask who touched me? But he wasn't talking about a physical touch because everybody was physically touching him. You see, what touch was he talking about? He was talking about someone reached out in the realm of the spirit and touched me through their faith. And he knew it. He felt it. They said, how do you even ask? Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. In other words, you get the impression, this is important. He is not just, oh, I wonder who it was. Golly, I'm so curious. This is life-changingly important that he knows who it was. Because God doesn't do anything halfway. If you don't understand what I meant by that, you will in a minute. He kept looking around. And then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came, and now she fell at his feet, trembling with fear. Because she had broken their law, and she could be killed for what she did. Crazy as that may sound to our Western minds, that's how it was. She fell at his feet, trembling with fear. And what does that last part of verse 33 say? It says, she told him the whole truth. Now, she's probably not as amplified as I am. She may have got through it quicker. But what's the whole truth? The whole truth is, well, about 12 years ago, and then I went to Dr. Smith and Dr. Jones and Dr. this and Dr. that, and I had this money, and then they got that money. This is not one of those, and it's over. This woman starts telling her testimony. Takes a minute, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 10, maybe 20, I don't know. But she told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, I love this, daughter. I like that part. She told him the whole, everything, and he still looks at her and he says, daughter. She touched him, violating a law. She, by their law, she made him unclean. But that ain't how it really works. His cleanness overcame all her uncleanness. You can't make Jesus dirty, no matter how bad you've sinned. Daughter, your faith, I'm going to say it one more time, you ready? Your faith has healed you. And I'm going to say it like he said it. Go in shalom and be freed from your suffering. The bleeding stopped and all the pain left. That wasn't really her suffering. That was some symptoms. Certainly wasn't pleasant. But the thing she suffered with more than anything was what was going on the inside. And when Jesus said, go in shalom, I use the Hebrew word, it's your Bible says peace. When Jesus says, go in shalom, the word shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, everything restored. God is a restorer. Jeremiah 30:17, listen to this verse real quick. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. It's one of my favorite healing verses. If you call me and say, Pastor, I need prayer for healing, I'm probably going to pray this verse over you. That one in 2 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. That's a quote of Isaiah 53:4. This is one of my favorites. What's the problem? It don't matter. I'll restore health to you. And I'll heal you of your wounds, infirmities, injuries, whatever it is. I'll heal it, God said. I like that. And then look at this last part. See, we don't always, I don't know, I probably wouldn't quote this part over you all the time, but it's still just as true as the other part. He goes, because you are called an outcast. In other words, they called you an outcast. Look how well this verse, written in Jeremiah's time about 700 years before this woman that we're reading about was even born. The Lord in his word said, I'll restore health to you and heal you of your infirmities because they called you an outcast. But was it his faith that did it? This means no. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. I'm glad Jesus has faith. He has faith. Jesus lived by faith. Everything he did was faith. But it's our faith that brings results in our world. Amen. I want you to have faith. And how does faith come by? And hearing comes by the word, so we're in the word. And while I'm teaching this, listen to me, faith is coming to you. If you struggle to believe God for things, just don't struggle anymore. Just take faith. I'll take it. I just believe God. I believe God. Choose to. Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is a decision.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go, shalom, be made whole, be restored completely. Now, this story didn't start with her, did it? It started with somebody else. Jairus, remember him? We left him standing there. It got all about her for a while, didn't it? Where was Jairus standing there? What's going on in his life? His little daughter's back at home lying at the point of death. He's the one that came and got the master. And notice that Jesus, when he said, Lord, come and go with me and lay your hands on her, it says, and Jesus went with him. Let me give you this nugget. God don't do things the same way every time. Don't ever fall into this, well, he did it this way for brother so-and-so. Just because he did it that way one time does not mean that he's obligated to do that way every time. And you're going to do yourself a tremendous disservice and get hurt in the process because you're trying to operate in somebody else's rhema word from God. The Bible, when we read that, Romans 10:17, it says, it literally translated, it says, and faith cometh by the rhema of Christ. In other words, the revelation of Jesus revealing something to you. That's how faith comes. Jairus is still just standing there. Jesus is still speaking, actually, to her. Some men come from the house, verse 35. Men come from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and they said, your daughter's dead. And then just to make sure that he comprehended what they said, why trouble the master anymore? Why bother the teacher? In other words, this is the worst news that any parent could ever hear. This is the worst possible news you can get. And it's just hopeless. You know, it's like it's over, done, let it go. It's hopeless. That's a terrible report, isn't it? Can you imagine standing there? You've gone to the master to get him to come and lay hands on your little daughter because you know that if he does, she'll be healed and live. And he starts coming with you, and you're on your way, and you're probably like, yes, yes. And then here comes Miss So-and-so, you know, with her issue. I believe that Jairus literally just stepped to the side, let her have her time with Jesus, and kept his mouth shut. But I'll bet you on the inside, boy, the wheels were turning. Okay, you got to tell them the whole truth. We'll make it quick. You know, that's what I would have been doing. And then, while Jesus is still talking to the woman, they show up. They said, your little daughter has died. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. And immediately Jesus, ignoring what they said, Jesus responded, don't be afraid. I mean, I could almost just see Jesus grabbing Jairus and going, don't listen to what they got to say. Don't you let fear take a hold of you. Listen, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. One of my favorite teachers taught me that. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You can't have both because you're letting feelings be equal with what God said. And it's not going to get any results. Jesus told Jairus, he goes, don't be afraid. What did he tell him to do instead? Just believe. Now let me tell you about this. Jesus didn't deny what they said. When they came and they said, listen, Jairus, don't bother the teacher. Your little daughter, you know, she dead. What did Jesus do with that little bit of news? What did he do with it? He ignored it. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Did he deny its existence? No, he did not. If something doesn't exist, you don't have to ignore it. Doctors' reports, they're real. Bank statements are real. Layoff slips, they're real. They exist. Bad things happen. To be a person of faith, you don't have to go around pretending that there's nothing going on. He doesn't say he denied it. He says he ignored it. In other words, here's this barking dog of fear and doubt and unbelief. Jesus just totally ignored it. Everybody hold your finger up, just one finger. This will be good, so you want to participate. One finger, make sure it's this one, okay? We ain't all been saved a long time. Just this one, the point finger. Hold out about foot in front of you and set your eyes right on your finger. Look at the knuckle closest to the end of your finger. Now look at the knuckle in the middle of your finger. What happened to the other knuckle? The only thing that's really clear to me right now is the knuckle in the middle of my finger. Everything else is kind of just a background blur because I'm focused on what I want to look at. That's exactly how you have faith. And in essence, Jesus says, don't let fear take your eyes off of what you told me. You came, you said, if I would go with you, I'd lay hands on your little daughter and she would live. And nothing has changed that. Do you hear me? Nothing. Well, I started believing God and everything got worse. No, nothing got worse because nothing changed. When you're believing God, nothing changes. Except for the background noise, the wind, the waves, whatever. Who cares? Keep your eyes on the prize, on the promise of God, and just focus on that one thing that you want to see. You know where people really mess up? They focus on that thing that they hope don't happen. The Bible calls it worry. Jesus didn't say you have to deny the existence of stuff. He just said to ignore it. And ignore it by focusing on that which is of God. So Jesus told him, don't let fear get your eyes off. Ignore the fear. Pay attention to the faith. And then they left. He did not let anyone follow him, verse 37. Listen to me. You don't need a whole herd of people to stand in faith with you for your faith to work. He did not let anyone follow him except for the parents and some of his disciples. And then it came to the home of the synagogue ruler, and there was a great commotion. I'm going to say it this way. There was a great emotion. You see it? There's a great commotion. You know what commotions are? It's any emotion that doesn't lead to devotion. It's simply a commotion. A bunch of emotional people hanging out, feeding off of each other's emotions. That's what's going on. Look at somebody and say, I don't need that. Here's how I say it. You ready? Save the drama for your mama, because I'm operating in the Father's faith. I don't need all your emotion. I'm just making it about His Word and Him. Jesus goes, people crying, wailing, weeping, which is an appropriate response when you think it's a hopeless situation. He went in and said to them, watch this. He went in and said, why is all this commotion going on? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. Why did he say that? Because that's how it is from God's perspective. And their response, they laughed at him. See, be careful what you tell other people you're believing, because the truth is you don't need their approval. You don't need their approval. You just need God's word and your faith. That's enough. So Jesus put out the emotional people, got rid of them. They laughed, and he said, all right, you're out of here. He put them out. After he put them all out, he took the child's father, mother, the disciples who were with him, who went in there where the child was, took her by the hand, spoke with his spirit, said, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. How old was she? Oh, about 12 years. That's coincidental, is it? God put these two stories together, ordained this holy moment. It happened to be the woman had an issue of blood 12 years and a little girl, 12 years old, lying, literally died. 12 is the number of God's symbol of completion. How many disciples did Jesus choose? How many tribes were there in the nation of Israel? It's complete. You don't need 13. 11 ain't enough. God chose these two events that have 12-year cycles in them to tell us, listen, I can bring a complete reversal if you'll use the currency of faith. That little girl immediately got up and walked around. She's about 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about us, but he told them to give her something to eat. And I believe it ends with this Jesus saying, give her something to eat, because Jesus wants us to live looking forward. Not just stay in the moment of our healing, even if it's been 12 years getting it or longer. Not just stay in the moment of the celebration of the little girl's back alive, but to actually take that moment and move forward with it. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1:20, no matter how many promises God has made, they are what? They're yes in Christ Jesus. They are not maybe. They're yes in Christ. So through Him, the amen is spoken. Is that the end of the verse? It is not. All the promises of God, because of Christ, are what? Yes. And through Him, the Amen is spoken by whom? Us. In your life, if the promises of God are going to become the reality of your life, you're going to have to be the one that says the Amen through Christ. What does that mean? Amen means so be it. You could say it this way. I agree completely and I rely on what you said. By amen, you're calling that into existence in your life. We should say amen to the things of God. And what about that other stuff? Ignore it. Because what you focus on and what you pay attention to becomes the clarity and the focus of your life. Amen. Now, you've got to take hold of what God gave us today. God gave us a good faith sandwich. Anybody hungry? This is like a big old roast beef sandwich stacked high, full of mounds and mounds of roast beef in the middle. All the meat's in the middle, and it's right between two pieces of the bread of life. Who is he? Who's the bread of life? Jesus. This story begins, a man came to Jesus. This story ends with Jesus saying, give her something to eat. It begins with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. It's the bread of life beginning and ending, and all in between. What did we get from God today? A whole bunch of good meat. So now we're going to have to go take it, and we're going to have to digest it. That's your job. I can't do that for you. God wants to do things in your life that you can't even begin to imagine. Good things. Good things. He does not treat us as our sin deserves, but like a father who has compassion on a son whom he pities, God removes our transgression, our sin, our mistakes, our bad choices. Sometimes bad choices, you say, well, I made one bad choice and it led to a whole series of bad consequences. God says, I can deal with that if you'll let me. You don't just pray about the consequences. You go to where the choice was and you say, I'm sorry I made that choice, Father. Forgive me. And he says, I've been waiting so long for you to say that. You say, you mean everything will just get wonderful? Just like that? Nope. But it'll quit getting bad, and it'll start getting wonderful. See, the first way to get out of a hole, this is really, really deep. Stop digging, and then let the Lord start filling the hole in. Circumstances will change. They will. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say this once again before I start. I'm going to ask for ears to hear and a heart to obey. And if there's anything in my life, nothing's off limits. If there's anything in my life that's hindering me being able to obey God or hear God, I want it removed. I want it exposed to me so that I can take it to God and ask Him to get rid of it. You ready to pray? So Heavenly Father, I come to You and I'm willing to confess that I've acted on my own many times without You. Teach me to hear from You clearly. Give me ears to hear, a heart to receive it, and obedience, courage, in Jesus' name. Father God, if there's anything in my life hindering Your voice, hindering our relationship, I ask You to reveal it to me now. And Father God, I give to You whatever You want. All of me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.